I'd like to start off by ensuring that I have all of the materials that you believe that I should have. I don't want to be hearing this appeal and find out that I haven't seen a document or that I don't have access to a document that that you think I should have. I have what's called the SharePoint file for this this appeal. I have a number of documents. And Mr. Potter, may I start with you? Can you please list the electronic documents that you want me to look at for purposes of your appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. I have submitted an appeal book.
So that's the appeal book and compendium, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. And okay. My factum. And I do believe that there is... I wasn't sure. I'm self-represented, so I do believe that there was that I submitted the all the transcripts as well.
So I have the factum of the appellant. I have the appeal book and compendium. I have four different volumes of trial transcripts with different dates. There is one transcript April 28th, one for June 1st, one for June 16th, one for May 16th. Is there anything else that that you filed that you want me to consider for purposes of this appeal, Mr. Potter?
No, I think that's what I filed, yes.
Okay. If you think of something as we proceed today, by all means, let me know. I simply want to make sure that that everyone's satisfied that the materials that they believe should be before me are before me. So we have those ones for you. Ms. Fahim, Madam Crown, can you please tell me what you have filed and what documents you want to ensure I look at for purposes of this appeal?
Your Honor, I filed a Crown's Responding Factum and a Crown Book of Authorities.
Okay, very good. So those are the documents. Now, what about time today? Mr. Potter, how long do you think your submissions will last today? This is for purposes of determining or ensuring that I give the court staff and everyone proper breaks today and that we get the appeal finished in time.
I'm thinking 45 minutes to an hour, Your Honor.
Okay, that's fine. And Madam Crown, do you have any thoughts about how long you're likely to be?
I don't expect to be long, Your Honor. I would just be replying to whatever Mr. Potter says orally. All of my submissions are in my factum.
Okay, that's fine. So what I'll do, Mr. Potter, I'll keep one eye on the clock. I think that, you know, we have time this morning, so I will give you up to an hour for your submissions. I will then hear from Ms. Fahim. To be fair, I will give her up to an hour, although it sounds as though she may not require that much time. And then I'll give you some time for reply as well, Mr. Potter. So what I'll propose is 15 minutes for reply, but if you need more time than that, you can let me know.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Now, is everyone ready to begin? Are you ready to begin, Mr. Potter?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and Ms. Fahim, are you all set to go?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Potter, so I'll hear from you whenever you're ready. I'll just ask you if you would, if you're referring to a document, to please make sure that you refer to the page number of the document, either the number that's printed on the page, if there is one. I noticed your factum has numbers in each page, which is very helpful, or the PDF number, but that's so that I can make a note of it and make sure that as I'm writing my decision later, that I'll be sure to be referring to the exact document that you're referring to. Understood?
Okay.
Okay, so whenever you're ready.
Okay, Your Honor, for the record, I'd just like to open with, as the factum states, I'm a documentary film producer on the leader of the Liberal Party, Justin Trudeau. My complaints are, my initial complaints The peripheral complaints were involved being stalked by people in red vehicles that were ignored by a police chief who attends podcasts and parties with Liberal MPs. This matter revolves around the appellant filming an actual Liberal MP arriving simultaneous to him as he had filmed 1,796 red vehicles previous. The police have charged the appellant. A Liberal Party appointed judge presided over the trial. A Liberal Party appreciated donor, Crown Attorney, has attended my appeal proceedings, pre-trial court proceedings, and falsely told Justice Parfait that Justice Boxall said I was mentally ill. And Your Honor, while appointed by Ms. Raybould, a person I have utmost respect for, it is still a Liberal Party appointed judge that I'm in front of here today. So there's Liberal Party fingerprints all over this matter. So the incident stems, the conviction, I guess, stems from an incident that occurred on October 29th, 2020. As the appellant was arriving at the job, I guess I'll refer to myself as the appellant. Where I filmed what turned out to be Liberal MP Anita Vandenbalt driving her red Toyota Prius, arriving simultaneous to me, just as 1,796 vehicles arrived simultaneous to me at my home, job, work, etc. So this information was brought to the court. I did ask for an amicus. I guess that would be in the appeal book for the reasons I just described. That there are Liberal Party fingerprints all over this prosecution. I think I can just get to the page here. Sorry, Your Honor, I'm little bit I don't do this every day, so I'm trying to be as efficient as possible.
I can tell you, Mr. Potter, it sometimes takes me a little time to locate the documents on the page, so I'll be patient with you, and I will ask you and Ms. Fahim to be patient with me as I find the documents as well. So I have your appeal book and compendium open, so just let me know what page I should be on when you're ready, and I'll find it.
Thank you, Your Honor. And so, sorry, it would have been in the, I don't know why this isn't loading here. My PDFs aren't loading here. Okay. So the, so it would be in tab B, the court information. Where I filed an application for amicus. I can't find it here. This PDF isn't loading correctly. I don't know what's happening. A friend of the court, because I felt that I had been that I was being politically persecuted, and I was looking to have
Bowden, as soon as Mr. Potter is... Oh, there, I can see he's back now.
Yes, hello?
I won't virtually step out. I'll remain here. Mr. Potter, you can hear us?
I can hear you, but I can't see you here. I'm just...
Let me try to let us in.
Okay.
Okay,
there we go. I can see you, yes.
You're on mute, Mr. Potter. There you go.
Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry, I'm just going to close the document and open it again. I don't know what's happening here. So I filed amicus with the court. I guess I'll filed for amicus, a friend of the court to assist me in this matter, because I felt that I was being politically prosecuted or persecuted. As I explained here already, all these Liberal Party members who seem to have their hands in this prosecution, or Liberal Party associates or appointees. So, in regards to the to the trial itself, Your Honor, Justice Boxall gave a in his his decision, he stated that there were some inconsistencies in Ms. Vandenbelt's testimony, and specifically, sorry, Your Honor, if you don't mind, have you read my factum, or is it do I have to go through point by point, or how does that work?
I have reviewed your factum.
Okay.
I will ask you to emphasize any particular points that you think are important,
right,
but you don't need to read the whole factum, because I've read the factum, and in fact I printed it out, and I have it right at my fingertips. So if you want to flip through and tell me what's most important, that's fine, but don't feel, Mr. Potter, that you have to read it verbatim this morning.
Oh, yes. Okay, then. Thank you. And so... He stated that there was an issue, or that there was some inconsistencies, and my friend basically stated that my time calculations were what Justice Boxall was referring to in inconsistencies. Now, the inconsistencies that Justice Boxall was referring to was when Ms. Vandenbelt was trying to appear remotely, where I would refuse to have her appear remotely because I wanted to face my accuser, and so Ms. Vandenbelt, I guess Justice Boxall called it misspeaking. I guess that's what we call perjury now. So Miss Vandenbelt stated she doesn't attend functions without masks and whatever, and I produced documentation or photographic evidence from her Twitter feed that basically showed that was a lie. And so these were the inconsistencies that Justice Boxall was referring to. There was no inconsistencies. He wasn't referring to any inconsistencies in the Times. So the Times is what I want to look at here, Your Honor, because in Justice Boxall's decision, I was convicted for forcibly confining Ms. Vandenbelt for an excess of 5 minutes. So when we look at the, I guess it would be 63 of my factum, paragraph 63 of my factum, we can see here that the calculations have been done. That based on Ms. Vandenbelt's testimony, she was confined for a maximum of 2 to 2.5 minutes. So when we do the math, that's what she's testified to, is 2 to 2.5 minutes, and I was convicted on in excess of 5 minutes. There is a video evidence that I requested 486 counsel to bring forward. It's my position that this was exonerating evidence. I have been videotaping and filming these people doing this to me for 5 years, every day, several times a day. It's been filmed. I have thousands and thousands of people in red vehicles arriving simultaneous to my job. So Ms. Vandenbeld was one of the people that I filmed arriving simultaneous to my job. And it was exonerating evidence. The video shows, and which is, I guess, I've made an application to have this introduced as fresh evidence. It shows Ms. Vandenbeld was filmed for 4 seconds. It shows Ms. Vandenbeld was filmed for 4 seconds. It shows that she wasn't forcibly confined, that she basically perjured herself. So it's extremely important evidence that I felt that needed to be brought forward. There was an audio malfunction that prevented that from being played, which is in paragraphs 51 to 56. I go through that. So by the time near the end of the trial, Justice Boxall was asking me if I wanted to get up on the witness stand to show this evidence, and I did, but not without legal counsel, not without legal advice. I felt that I wouldn't take the witness stand without legal advice. So that evidence was excluded, and I wasn't aware of the process, but there was an audio malfunction that prevented from being played. It caused the video evidence to only be played while muted, which would have caused a problem. So sorry, I'm just gonna try to get back on track here.
Take your time, Mr. Potter.
Yes, thank you. So, in Ms. Vandenbeld's testimony, I'm going to be going into, I guess, paragraph 23, page 5 of my factum. The witness had some serious chronology and credibility conflict, where she talks about an exaggerated, timeline, an exaggerated behavior, and then she testifies that she was unable to leave the parking lot for 10 to 15 minutes, but then her testimony only accounts for 4 to 4.5 minutes. So again, we have the witness, basically we have a credibility and chronology conflict that even a layman like myself can see, and then Justice Boxall didn't give enough weight to the time and the time conflicts and the credibility conflicts that are very apparent throughout the transcript. So, in 29 of my factum, Ms. Vandenbeld testified that there was no aggression on my part except for a hostile stare. So, the conviction, I guess, was based on her being held for in excess of 5 minutes, and feeling psychologically restrained. Now, the psychologically restrained, that's Justice Boxall's words, not Ms. Vandenbeld's words. So it appears that Justice Boxall ruled on his own evidence of leading the witness. So in paragraph 32, the conflicts in general testimony, Ms. Vandenbeld testified she could hear, she had this elaborate story on stand that she could hear the 911 call taker, and she was advising her staffer the police were on the way, and then in cross-examination, less than 5 minutes later, she states she didn't, that nobody told her the police were on the way, and she did not remember that. So again, we have another conflict of testimony. We have another credibility issue coming up. The off-records discussions with the police. Ms. Vandenbeld was asked three times, she testified three times, that she had not discussed this matter with the police outside of with the Crown and the investigating officer. After prodding from the 486 counsel, she finally admitted that she did indeed discuss this with Chief Slawley. She congratulated him. They were at a party together, and they were talking about this matter. As I noted earlier, I made complaints about Chief Slawley attending Liberal MP Catherine McKenna's podcasts, which is against Section 45 of the Police Services Act. Section 46 of the Police Services Act, that he was engaging in political activity and should not have been. So now we have a police chief not investigating my complaints of red vehicles stalking me. I produced this film on the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party police chief is not investigating. He's attending functions. He's attending parties. He's getting a pat on the back by the complainant for arresting me and charging me for filming her. And again, so in my factum, with these matters between Liberal MP and Ida Vandenbeld and Police Chief Peter Slawley complimenting, getting a compliment from Ms. Vandenbeld, again, that raises serious questions about the validity of even the charges that were brought on me. And so then we're going to go to the validity of the charges. And so the charges, initially the case was being investigated, and I guess if we go the testimony of Constable Tyler McDonald, all of the police who testified that it was being investigated as a harassment case. Even emails in paragraph 43 of my factum, even emails between the investigating detective and the mental health officer shows that they're investigating a harassment and suspicious person case. The 911 call was, or response was, for a harassment, suspicious person case. And somewhere along the way, it transformed into a forcible confinement case. And so, I hope Your Honor would speculate on how that came about. Because we have the 911 call is a harassment, suspicious person. The responding officer states it's a harassment, suspicious person. Conversations between two officers, email conversation, it's a harassment, suspicious person. And then it somewhere along the road transforms into a forcible confinement charge. So again, I'm wondering how Justice Boxall was able to ignore that chain of events, or that those communications between those officers and the complainant, on how a harassment and suspicious person complaint from Anita Vandenbalt somehow morphed into a forcible confinement charge. Peter slowly, as I mentioned, Justice Boxall refused to grant an adjournment for Peter Slowly. Peter Slowly was served a lawful subpoena that a justice of the peace issued. Peter Slowly disobeyed a lawful subpoena. And Justice Boxall ruled that Peter Slowly's evidence was not, could not be relevant to this matter. And so the relevance for Peter Slowly is that he was the police chief when I made two video-supported criminal complaints to the Ottawa police regarding being savagely harassed at my home and workplace by individuals driving red vehicles. Those criminal complaints were framed by the OPS as me being delusional, in spite of video evidence submitted that I made complaints to the Ottawa Police Services Board, Chief Slowly, regarding his interactions with Liberal MP Catherine McKenna, that he was violating Section 46 of the Police Services Act, which prohibits police from political engagement. Well, he was attending podcasts with Liberal MP Catherine McKenna's podcast. It's her show. She's a podcaster now, I guess. So Peter Slowly was also waiting outside of the Ottawa Police headquarters when I went to get fingerprinted for this matter, where him and I had a heated discussion about his involvement with the Liberal Party. And then, of course, Ms. Vandenbalt testified that she complimented Peter Slowly on his detective arresting me for filming for this incident. So, it's my position and my submission, Your Honor, that Peter Slowly was a significant defense witness. and well establishes Liberal Party involvement in this, in these crimes against me. The crimes that I'm referring to are, I guess, known, the technical term is mid-level violence. There are state crimes where mid-level violence is where the state or a government entity will harass and terrorize a person so badly and then criminalize their reaction to that harassment. So it's my submission, Your Honor, that the Liberal Party and their apparatchiks have been engaged in mid-level violence against me and have subsequently now convicted me of my reaction to this crime against me. So, in Justice Boxall's reason for a decision, he had reasonable doubt that I was harassing the appellant, but acquitted me of that. But then he ruled on his own testimony, I guess, him leading the witness. He ruled that Ms. Vandenbul was psychologically confined. Ms. Vandenbul didn't say that. Nobody said that except Justice Boxall. Justice Boxall ruled that Ms. Vandenbul was confined in excess of 5 minutes, and it ruled that was a significant period of time, enough so that he could convict me of unlawful confinement. Now, the mathematics, if we do the mathematics on that, Ms. Vandenbul, even with her own testimony, it doesn't add up to 5 minutes. So I was convicted I was convicted on inaccurate time, time accounting. So the misapprehension of evidence on 60. So as I said earlier, from the outset of the alleged incident, the crime of forcible confinement was not being alleged. The 911 call taker noted Ms. Vandenbul's statement, the responding officer who noted Ms. Vandenbul's initial statements, and even the lead detective were investigating a harassment and suspicious person matter. The witness evidence appears to show the building of a false narrative at an unknown point after the alleged incident. These widely divergent version of events was not considered by Justice Boxall and further impugns his ruling on Chief Slowly and Ms. Vandenbul's credibility. So the element of the offense, for forcible confinement, there has to be an element of force, threat of force, fear, threat of force. I don't see fear, although my friend mentions fear. Nowhere in any witness testimony did anybody testify that I was aggressive or violent, or actually the complainant even desired that I, or wished that I was aggressive or violent with her. And so there was no testimony has been given that I was aggressive or violent or threatening or anything of that nature. So the threat, the element of force or threat of force has not been met on the forcible confinement charge. So Justice Boxall makes several notes about Anita Vandenbul's inconsistencies on the witness stand, And inconsistencies, I'm no legal expert, but, you know, that's, from my understanding, is that's perjury. So if you get up on the stand and you tell one story, but it's revealed that that's not the story, that's not misspeaking, and that's not an inconsistency, that's lying on the witness stand, that's perjury. And so Ms. Vandenbalt perjured herself several times and allowed, and Justice Boxall allowed for this, and I would say has... I guess sugar-coated her perjury by calling it an inconsistency or misspeaking. And so this goes back to my video, why I would like to introduce this fresh evidence. And I do call it fresh. It's not new. I guess there's a difference in the Supreme Court rules that fresh is evidence that was available during the trial but wasn't shown, whereas new is that it's available after the trial has already been concluded. And so this is fresh evidence, and that evidence will further, I guess, indict Ms. Vandenbalt's testimony and show that she perjured herself in order to gain a conviction. Ms. Vandenbalt testified she was able to leave the first and only time she attempted to leave. So that again, in my, as I said, I'm not a legal expert, but when you're able to leave the first and only time you want to leave, or you try to leave, then you're not forcibly confined. Evidence from the 911 call taker and Constable McDonald shows she initially claimed the appellant harassed her and not forcibly confined her. The lead detective emails show the Ottawa police, based on Ms. Vandenbalt's statements herself, were investigating a harassment and suspicious person from the outset. So again, it's unknown where in the investigative action of Ms. Vandenbalt's statements were suddenly viewed as grounds for a forcible confinement investigation. So it's my submission, Your Honor, that these charges were fabricated and brought forward as a way to further persecute a Liberal Party critic. Peter Slowly was a material and albeit a peripheral defense witness. Justice Boxall's ruling on this legally subpoenaed witness, despite evidence of direct and indirect involvement with Ms. Vandenbalt and the appellant in relation to this matter, constitutes an obstruction and a violation of the appellant's right to a fair trial and vigorous defense. Peter Slowly wasn't a distant actor, you know, a police chief, and while his officers were doing their work, so you know, he wasn't subpoenaed on those bases. He was subpoenaed for his direct involvement with both the appellant and the complainant in this specific matter. Justice Boxall applied. The audio malfunction and subsequent legal error prevented a piece of exonerating material evidence from being submitted, examined and cross-examined by the appellant counsel and Crown. The video, in the appellant's view, establishes Ms. Vandenbalt was not forcibly confined, was not going to a medical emergency of a parent, as she states in Appeal Book, page 94, para 10. She was not confined for 10 or 15 minutes. She was not confined at all. But instead, she was filmed perpetrating what I allege to be a crime against me. Justice Boxall applied uneven standards of scrutiny to his review and applied the wrong legal test for forcible confinement. His verdict was based on misapprehended evidence of Ms. Vandenbalt being confined for in excess of 5 minutes, whereas this calculation does not match the times in evidence. Justice Boxall drew inferences from evidence which did not flow logically, reasonably, or mathematically from that evidence. There was no evidence given throughout the trial showing the required element of force, implied or otherwise, or the use of force. There is substantial evidence showing the absence of that element. There is no evidence showing intent, as was the basis for the acquittal on the criminal harassment charge. The several elements to convict for forcible confinement are absent. The appellant submits that all the elements required to convict for forcible confinement have not been met. I respectfully submit that Justice Boxall's unreasonable and incorrect verdict be overturned and substituted with an acquittal, or on the alternative, a new trial ordered, I would ask that if the judge can rule, I don't know what the procedure is here, but if the judge can rule on the video that I have, the videotape of Ms. Vandenbalt, this entire incident, to have it shown, we can clear it up right away. We'll show that none of Ms. Vandenbalt's testimony is accurate. She perjured herself, and in order to convict me for this. So I would either like to have the video shown so that I can use it to assist in my acquittal, or in the alternative, I would like to have the incorrect verdict overturned and substituted with an acquittal, or in the alternative, a new trial ordered. And those are my submissions, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Potter. So I take it from the argument, what you've described as brief of argument, beginning at paragraph 67 of your factum and ending at paragraph 75, that it's your position that both errors of law and errors of fact were made by Justice Boxall. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, and but also too that he describes Ms. Vandenbalt's perjury as inconsistencies and misspeaking. And I don't know where in law that we have a description for misspeaking on the witness stand. There's either perjury or not perjury. So I would say that, yeah, that would be an error in law on Justice Boxall's part.
There are three, and if the question I'm about to ask you doesn't make sense, or if you don't understand it, Mr. Potter, don't hesitate to let me know, because it's not meant to be a trick. But appellants will appeal decisions on the basis that judges made factual mistakes, legal mistakes, or mistakes involving both facts and law. And I actually think that from your submissions and from your factum, you're saying that Justice Boxall made all three types of errors. Is that fair?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So subject to your right to reply to what the Crown has to say this morning, Mr. Potter, is that everything you'd like to say for now?
Yes, that's it, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Ms. Fahim, whenever you're ready.
Your Honor, I was wondering if I could take approximately 10-15 minutes just to gather my submissions. I think it'll be more streamlined that way if I have just a minute to prepare.
Sure, that'll be fine. I was actually going to suggest that we take the morning break in about 15 or 20 minutes anyway, which might have interrupted your submissions. Now, I don't see Mr. Potter on the screen. I just want to make sure he's still present. Yes, he is. Okay. So, Mr. Potter, Ms. Fahima, and Registrar, we'll take the morning break now, and we'll come back at 11:15. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
She perjured herself.